Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
We're brothers, we're happy and we're singing and we're colored. Give me a high five! Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about.
Hello and welcome to season two of True Information. I am your host, Marky Davis, here with
Grown-Ass Man Season 2!
And so, you know, people are probably wondering, you guys have been gone for a pretty good, you know, month or two here. Haven't heard anything from you. So what's been going on?
And
Yeah, I guess I'll start. Me, I was having mental breakdowns with PTSD and anxiety and depression, as well as high blood pressure medicine that caused these symptoms to intensify. Didn't know the side effects of them. If you follow me on Facebook, you would know. I wrote a post about this. It really had me in a state that I had never been in before in my life. I'm not a crier, okay? I don't cry at all. But I'm going to tell you, for about 2 weeks during this time period, I was crying every day about little stuff. I mean, you would have thought I was a pregnant woman the way I was crying about stuff. So
we do not say that pregnant women cry a lot. We're just saying that you do cry. But go ahead. Never mind. Go ahead.
No. I say pregnant women cry a lot because I've had a wife who's been pregnant five times, and I can tell you. But
man, I remember when my wife tried to. Well, she basically cried at me because there was no cheese on her sandwich, and that was a like 8 o'clock in the evening moment where she's crying because there's no cheese on her sandwich, and I was just like, you know what? This is one of those times.
Yeah.
This is one of those times he tell you about.
Yeah.
Anyway, please continue. Sorry about that.
So, you know, I'm just glad to be in a better state of mind.
Y'all are.
I lost 20 pounds.
And, did you?
I did, yeah.
Where'd you put it?
Oh, you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to go there. And so, so it's been a lot of stuff going on. And today we're going to talk not about that crap, but about other stuff. So, Grow Man, what have you been up to?
Man, there's so much stuff. Okay, so actually, there's not been a lot. I started a new job, which is awesome.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it's a full-time, part-time type thing. It's good.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, well, it feels like part-time the way they do the schedule, but then it's actually full-time. So I'm not going to go into what I do. Cause I still try to keep my anonymity. And I don't want y'all to know who I am.
Stripping.
That's right, buddy.
Oh,
male strippers.
I am
the cuddly bear of male strippers. That's right. Some of you ladies talk about wanting a dad bod with a man with a dad bod. Here I is. I'm just kidding. No, but still tell your mom about me. but no, we, yeah, got a new job, still doing, you know, reserve duty and military things of that nature. That ramped up. That was pretty heavy. And, you know, just trying to take care of my family, you know, wash every dish I possibly can because that's part of what I'm supposed to do. So,
You know, as a father, a husband, you have certain responsibilities that you have to take on.
Yeah, like washing dishes.
As we spoke about
diapers
during the father show of our season one finale show.
Yeah. Was it a season one finale show? We didn't even call it a season finale. We just like,
Yep.
Sure.
So, okay, with that segue, I want us to focus on some recent passings of celebrities that have impacted our society today. So let's start with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right. Right.
She was a very influential person. Go ahead.
Well, you have to look at it. What was she influential for? Ruth Bader Ginsburg was where is it? I don't want to get this wrong. Google.
She was a Supreme Court justice. I know that much.
Yeah. Okay. Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. an American jurist who served as an associate justice of the Supreme Court in United States 3 during President William Clinton. Clinton, he nominated her, and she died in September 18th, 2020. Uh-huh. Her husband died back in 2010. She was nominated by President Bill Clinton and was generally viewed as a moderate judge who was a consensus builder in time of her nomination. What is she noted for, though? That's really what we want to know. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the leading force in a lot of women's rights, the women's rights movement. One of her earlier claims to fame was basically going through, not only going into law school when women weren't really allowed, and then graduating from law school top of her class. Mm-hmm. After she graduated law school top of her class, she started practicing and then had notoriety because she went through and broke down every crazy little law that there was that said women can't work. Hmm. Like women can't work in a coal mine. Why?
Well, you got to understand at that time,
there's no real reason why you can't work in a coal mine. It's just they had the law up there. Like, okay, that's great.
Well, you got to realize, during that time, women were supposed to be seen and not heard, they were supposed to be caretakers and raise the children and things of that nature. They could be teachers, a nice, quiet, kept teacher, but a lawyer, oh my God, a lawyer, a woman speaking in court, the way we viewed women and minorities at that time was a travesty. I like to say, think about this. Black men were given the right to vote before white women.
Yep.
And so that lets you see how society at that time, and even still today to a certain extent, viewed women.
No, I'm not even going to say certain extent. It still views women like that. It just have more rights than they used to.
It's a travesty.
Society as a whole. You talk about the equal pay because what was it? Women on average make less than their male counterparts in the same job field. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it really begs the question, why? Why can't you pay someone based on their knowledge and not based on their gender?
Well, because, men have one less rib because of women. That's why.
What?
Oh, bruh. Well, it's in the Bible. God took a rib from. It's not anatomically.
I'm not missing
it's not anatomically correct, but still.
I mean, it's not like I was like, damn, man, I would have had that job if I had that other rib. Yo, who the hell? Go to baby back ribs. Okay, who cares? Okay. Get you a rib.
I'm going to go slightly off topic here.
Uh oh.
I saw a wonderful sculpture the other day. I saw it online. I was just looking at random sculptures online, and it was an apple. Okay. Okay. Now, that apple on the front of it had, it was sculpted a vagina. Okay.
Oh.
And coming out of the vagina was a snake.
Oh.
So it was showing you.
Apple, vagina, snake. Sounds biblical.
It was showing you the story of Genesis, the first couple chapters of Genesis about Adam and Eve, correct? And it was telling people what I've been telling people for a very long time in regards to the apple. The apple is just a symbolic representation of sex. Now, people like to get upset with me when I say this because I look at things a little bit more realistically, okay? So the Bible used a lot of imagery to cover up what is sex. Understand what I'm saying? Because sex was so taboo to talk about during that time. Nowadays, we're more open about it. So let's think about it this way, okay? So Adam and Eve, God says, do not eat the forbidden fruit. Doesn't say apple, he says the forbidden fruit, okay? Satan comes in and he shows Eve the forbidden fruit, right?
He said, don't eat from the tree.
Okay.
And then,
okay.
Yeah, he said, don't eat from the
tree of knowledge, right? Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
So, since Adam,
Since Adam and Eve were the only two people on the planet, pretty much.
You know, that's what they want us to believe. And they had no children. They knew nothing about fornication. They knew nothing about sex. So Satan comes in and shows her what sex is. Her first child is who?
Cain.
And Cain was what?
Not Abel.
And Cain.
Oh, get him!
Cain was,
that's my dad joke of the day. Okay.
Cain was evil. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Cain was the embodiment of what evil really was at that time. Let's just say that, because he, you know, no one had ever died, no one had ever killed anybody, right? So when Cain killed Abel, he became evil.
That was the first murder.
Yeah. So why was Cain evil? Because he was the son of Satan.
What?
Satan comes into Satan comes into the garden, right? As a snake, right? As a serpent. He convinces Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge.
Okay.
Have sex. He has sex with Eve.
Oh, you're saying that the devil has sex with Eve?
Yes.
This is what you're...
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm following you now.
He gets Eve pregnant with Cain.
Right.
Cain is now the son of Satan.
Okay.
Adam and Eve have sex. They make Abel.
Okay.
Abel is a good child. He listens. He is prototypically the son of God. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay. So then when Cain kills Abel, you have evil triumphing over good because they ate of the forbidden fruit, which is sex, and they gained knowledge from the tree of life, which is life. I'm telling you, bro, you know, it might not. Theologians may be upset with me for saying that. They may disagree with me, but it makes sense.
I mean,
what is the one
time wise?
What is the one thing in the world that is always seen as taboo?
Wiping or shaking hands with the hand you wipe your butt with.
Sex.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So let's look at it. 1920s, when a couple females first wore shorts for the first time. They caused an accident. You had people staring at them. All right. This is photographical proof. They have this proof on photograph of two ladies walking down the street in New York with shorts on and all of the men gawking. A car accident happened. Sex. What do they always say sells? Sex sells, right? What is the one thing we try to shield our children from? Sex.
Pedophiles.
Sex. You understand what I'm saying? So, why would the tree of knowledge be a fruit that gives you infinite wisdom? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was just wisdom, the wisdom to know that you were naked. Now, mind you, I was given this information as a child. And like you just said, people try to shield children from what, you know, from all types of things. So the adult version has never blamed me. And if you, I mean, like, I'm gonna just trust you. So what you're saying is Satan has sex with Eve after she ate that.
No, there was never any fruit. Okay. Think about this. The woman's womb holds life, right?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yep.
The uterus, the vagina.
That sounds like some masochistic type
stuff. No, okay, but understand this. They say, he said, do not eat of the tree of knowledge, right? Okay, so the greatest thing in the entire world is the ability of a woman to carry a child.
Okay.
Now, what does the Bible also says? Okay. Be fruitful and multiply, right? It didn't say that in Genesis because God did not want us to be fruitful and multiply at that time. Why? Because he had his two perfect beings right there. He had the two people who were going to praise and worship him like he wanted it, right? But when Lucifer, Satan, came into the Garden of Eden and showed Eve how to multiply, how to conceive, and she taught it to Adam, right? And then what did God do? He kicked him out of the Garden of Eden. I'm sorry I had to go biblical here on you, God, and had to, but this is something that a lot of people don't want to talk about because it involves sex. You go to church nowadays, you'll hear people talking about fornication and adultery, but they knelt down and tell the congregation why sex is evil. Understand what I'm saying? They want to preach against it at all costs, but they don't tell you why.
Look, this is new to me. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I'm new. This is wow.
I'm just saying, okay. As a person who thinks, okay, who walks on this earth and wants to know more, we should start not just questioning, but also analyzing everything that happens or has been told to us. And you cannot just take everything for black and white. I don't care if they say it is the word of God. You have to still question it, because guess what God gave you? He gave you the ability to question. He gave you that free thought to ask. He gave you that free thought to wonder. Okay, I'm sorry. I went on a whole tangent there. I'm sorry, everybody. You know what? I'm sorry. So Chadwick Boswick, Bosman. How you say
Bosman.
It? Okay. Chadwick.
Bosman.
So Black Panther died.
Yes.
And that shook up a lot of people. People didn't know he had cancer.
Well, he didn't want anyone to know.
I mean, but if you look at the photos he took, you would assume something was wrong.
Yeah, he got skin teeth.
Now, if this was the late 80s, you would have thought he had AIDS.
Or crack.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved reading the post of everyone saying, you know, about all of the haters who was on his post talking crap about him because he lost so much weight. And it's like, you never know what someone's going through.
Damn right.
So you can't just open up your mouth and say something if you don't know. But...
yeah.
You know, he was a very influential actor. He acted in some really great biopics. Really one of the biggest movies of the last couple of years in Black Panther.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was Jackie Robinson, he was James Brown, he was Thurgood Marshall in his movies. He died at the age of 43 from, what does it say? What cancer was it? Colon cancer. He was diagnosed 4 years ago. That, ladies and gentlemen, that is before Black Panther came out. So he was doing all of this while he had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
While he had cancer.
Fighting through the pain and everything.
All of it.
To provide you entertainment.
Yeah, it was said that he repeatedly visited, said and shown that he repeatedly visited the cancer ward in children's hospitals to try to bring joy to the kids. And like that to me is like the strangest symbol of selfless service, when you know you have an issue and you see others having an issue, and instead of just worrying about yourself, you lift them up.
Yep.
You lift them up. His family said a true fighter, Chadwick persevered throughout it all and bought you many of films you have come to love so much. From Marshall to The Five Bloods, August Wilson's May Riley's Black Bottom, and several more.
Mm-hmm.
And were filmed during and between countless surgeries and chemotherapy. It was the honor of his career to bring King T'Challa to life in Black Panther. Like, I'm gonna be real with you. Like, I'm not a real celebrity fanboy type thing. Like, even in this very moment, mm-hmm. It hasn't been him. Him dying threw me. It threw me for so much because, like, I didn't know the man. I didn't know him personally. I knew him as a symbol. I knew him as a person, but I didn't know him personally.
Mm.
But his presence was symbolic.
Yes.
And if I go into any more, I'm gonna get choked up a bit, so I'm gonna just leave it right there. But moving forward in my geeky term and geeky way, I hope that Marvel and whoever, like, who owns Marvel? The Marvel movie series, who owns it? I can't remember.
Disney.
Disney. I hope Disney does right by him for eternity, and they never cast a new male Black Panther. You know, I hope they give it to Shardy,
yep,
his little sister, like they're supposed to, and they let that king rest. They let King T'Challa rest. Like I can't fathom anything else. And I think I'll actually be upset if they try anything else. But anyway, whew, let's move on. Let's get to other people who died. Naya Rivera. For those of you who may remember her, she was on Glee. She was on Glee for almost the entire show.
Oh yeah, she passed away saving her son.
Yeah, she died saving her 4-year-old son. I think in a river or something. Hold on, let me not. She drowned.
Yeah, she drowned. But she saved her son.
Yep.
You know, and before
drowning, her son told investigators. Right. And yeah, there, you know, that was in California. That was in July, I believe. And yeah, that's scary, man. I mean, like, real talk, that's every parent's like wish, but yet fear.
Yep.
Seeing your child in danger and giving your life for your child, like, straight up, Lord, take me. You know, let this one live. I'll go. That's, wow. That's crazy, yo. Whew.
Listen, you know, life is about death.
Comes at you fast.
It's about death.
Life comes at you fast.
You know, and we as people, that's why this is another one of my theological explanations. This is why we created heaven and hell and things of that nature, because we want you to live a good life so that you can get into heaven, but we want to know that our exploits here on earth mean something so that we can go somewhere and be glorified for what we did here. So I'm sorry, everybody, I'm going on such a preacher's rant during this show.
Preacher's rant.
But you know, I'm gonna tell you know, when I was going through my mental breakdown, I literally wanted to just sleep. You know, it's not like I wanted to die. I just didn't want to be awake, you know? And I told my therapist that, and she was like, you know what? That makes sense, that I don't want to die and leave people with the burden of what I have, but I don't want to wake up. You know, this was when I was going through it. You know what I'm saying? And so I quickly started realizing that on earth, we want to do good, so that way, when we die, people will think we did good our entire life.
Right.
You know? And so death comes. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Everything ceases to exist at some point.
Right.
You know? So you have to accept it. Accept what people have done in their life and understand that they tried their best. You know? That's with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Kobe Bryant, Chadwick Boseman, everybody, you know?
Regis Philbin? Yeah, he died this year.
Yeah, you know, I used to love Regis. I used to love watching Live with Regis and Kathy Lee.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Herman Cain died.
You know what?
Herman Cain died after he left. Herman Cain died of complications of the coronavirus after having been at the Republican National Convention was it the Republican National Convention?
Yeah, it was. It was the RNC with no mask on, but we're not going to talk about that.
Okay, cool.
Fun fact, I filled the same time slot on the same radio station as Herman Cain when I had my very first radio show, Lima Charlie Radio Show. Here in Atlanta, you know, and same time slot, the two to three time slot in the morning on Monday mornings was the same time slot Herman Cain started out with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, on the same station, AM 920 The Answer. So
that's dope.
You know, pretty cool fun fact. If you ever have any Marquis Davis trivia night in your household, you can use that fun fact there.
We are. It's not just, it's true information trivia night. I never have been on a radio show besides this one and the other one I was on. Right.
So
Charlie Daniels, the country singer, went down to Georgia.
That's a fantastic song.
I love that song.
I don't care what anyone says. Here we go on the music rant.
Man, the devil went down to Georgia and he was looking for a soul to steal. Like, oh my God.
Listen. That song, when the fiddle comes in and you and then it breaks into the devil's part with the rock music. It's like this song. It incorporated so many of the elements that people listened to during that time, and it transcended what country music could be. You know, I tell people nowadays that country music is nothing now but glorified R&B music.
Ooh, don't do that to them.
I am.
Don't throw that to them don't be like that.
It's just pop music with R&B with a twang. That's all it is.
Good gosh.
You know, my wife loved that song, If It's Meant to Be, It'll Be, by Georgia Florida Line and some chick. I don't know.
Right. Reba McEntire.
No. Reba McEntire's country. She can,
Rexa.
Yeah, whoever.
But, yeah, I remember.
But yeah, you know, my wife loved that song. And I'm like, this is nothing but R&B lyrics, you know, with a country twang.
Hey, our country music, love country music and R&B have a similar foundation.
Listen to old country music. You know, listen to some old Willie Nelson or what's his name? Johnny Cash, you know.
Okay.
Listen to some of those guys and you'll see that their songs were stories.
Yeah. They tell stories. Most songs are stories. Like most songs start out as storytellers.
The history of singing. Not R&B. R&B music is all about either you left me and I'm upset about it and I'm crying. It's a short story. Or I want to plow your brains out all night because it's raining. You know what I'm saying?
That is the new age way of thinking. But yes, all songs are just telling a story. Well, let me back up. All songs prior in the history of song making in the beginning of music. Yeah. They were telling a story.
You know, they had that lyre, and they would sit there with the bars would sit there and be like, you know, one day King David, he wrote down the track.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, nowadays it's more
of... He was singing his sonnet.
It's more of King David went to the crib and he was smacked. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. So going back to country real quick. I'm going to love you forever.
Oh, man. No.
Randy Travis.
No, it's more...
Forever and
You know what? Amen. What's that black country artist? Kane.
Who?
Kane something. What's his name? Kane something. I can't think of his name right now.
A black country artist.
Okay,
man.
Okay. Well, this one right here is the one that blew up and is very popular, and a lot of people don't like him. Kane something. I can't think of his name, but he's pretty okay to me. I like him. Kane, whatever his name is.
Is it K-E-N or?
It's K-A-N-E something or something. Kane.
K-A-N-E. Kane Brown.
Kane Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a high yellow black, but he's a black.
Oh, my God. Did you just say it like that for real? Jesus.
I'm from Southern Georgia, and that's how we refer to the blacks down here. Either you're a high yellow Negro or you're a dark-skinned Negro.
Oh, my God. The thoughts and feelings of... One of True Information's co-hosts are not the thoughts and feelings of all of True Information's co-hosts.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is people, you know, at one point in time, people were urging me to pursue a political career because I'm seriously a moderate at heart, you know. But the problem is I say things that would come back. They would just cut it up and put it right on audio tape. He said Negro. what do he mean by Negro?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man, and you know what? Okay, so politics. I just segued. I'm sorry. I segued.
Did you? Let me get the last few.
Okay.
Okay. So I said Regis Philbin. We talked about Kobe Bryant very briefly, but that's emotional too. So got rest in peace, Kobe Bryant and his daughter. Gail Sayers, if you're familiar with the story of Gail Sayers, yeah. Or if you ever had to watch Brian's Song, like I did in middle school.
Everyone did.
Everyone did. So Gail Eugene Sayers, born May 30th, 1943, was an American professional football player who was both a halfback and return specialist of the National Football League. Blah, blah, blah. Not to be disrespectful, but he was notarized because of just him being black on the football team at that particular time. It was kind of a thing. And then his partner, Piccolo, and him dying from, I believe, cancer as well. But honestly, I'm trying to rush, so I might have gotten that wrong.
Gail Sayers, isn't he the youngest guy to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, something like that?
I think he was too. Yeah,
you know, because they said he did things on the football field that was unimaginable at that time.
Unimaginable, and like maybe another segment or another show we can dive into that. But I know that you usually tell me we have time. So, Carl Reiner, the oldest of the old guys on all of the Ocean's movies, Carl Reiner. He died.
Oh, wow. The bald guy.
He died in June. Yep. The old guy, I think he played a Jewish guy. The old Jewish guy on Oceans. The Oceans 11, Oceans 12, Oceans 13 movie.
Yeah.
So let's see. Huey, the rapper. For those of you who listen to rap and enjoy it. Yeah. Pop, Lock, and Drop It.
He passed away?
Your boy died.
Wow.
He was shot in St. Louis, Missouri.
You know something? Okay, hold off. Hold off the thought.
What?
I'm holding off on that thought.
Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm finna go with it. Okay, so gun control here in this country, right?
Oh, my God. You really went for it, huh?
Yeah. I don't believe in gun control, but I do believe in gun regulation. Okay. Now, I understand. Okay, criminals don't obey the law, right?
No, that's why they're called criminals.
Okay, got it. Understand that. But when you have people who have so many firearms that they can misplace one and not even know it's gone.
That's a little scary.
That's the problem. Nobody has brought that up. No one has said anything about that. How are these criminals getting illegal firearms if people aren't misplacing them?
I mean, I don't think it's misplaced, to be honest with you, but that's a whole conspiracy theory in a nutshell in itself. So,
We'll save that for another show.
Ian Holm, the Bilbo Baggins, from the Hobbit and from Lord of the Rings. He died.
You know,
88.
That was one of my favorite books. Reading the Hobbit.
Was it?
Yeah, the Hobbit was a really good read.
Not even going to lie, have not read it.
It was a really good read. It kept you enthralled in the book with the way the story was paced. The characters were developed. It was a really good read.
Yeah. I like a good character development story. I do. Bonnie Pointer from the Pointer Sisters. She died at 69 in June.
That is a great song. The Best of My Love is a absolutely great song.
It is. It is.
The way they come in with the three-part harmony and then they break it up and then they go to another harmony and they go to, it's a wonderful song. Those three sisters could sing their butts off.
Yeah. And honestly, Shad Gaspar, former WWE star, was found dead.
Shad Gaspar, I don't know who that is.
He went for a swim. This is another person who was swimming. People, folks, I'm not saying that he didn't know how to swim. I'm saying that, just be careful.
The black
water
guy
is dangerous. Yes, sir. The black guy. He was a WWE superstar. And
what was his in-ring name?
Oh, I don't even know that.
No.
I have to look it up. Give me 2 seconds. I'll look it up. But he died, and I believe he died saving his son.
Yep.
While in the water. Yo.
Let me tell you. Okay, so when my family goes to the beach,
they better got in the heaven.
You know where we keep my kids at on the beach? Right there where the tide is like just coming right up on the water. I can swim. My wife can swim. We can swim pretty well, okay?
Yeah.
But I'm like, look, As soon as that big wave come in and sweep one of y'all under, we both finna pass away because the current in the ocean is crazy.
Right.
All right. So y'all stay right here, kick the water, run back. Kick the water, run back. You know?
Not kick the water. His stage name was Shod. He went as his name.
That's what, yes, he was part of, okay, I know who he is.
Okay, so, yeah, and unfortunately, there's a, I'm sorry, Fred Willard, Modern Family.
Yes, the old guy.
The old guy on Modern Family, yeah, he was in Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yep, the dad in that.
He was in there. He's gone too. And Jerry Stiller, father of Ben Stiller.
He was in Seinfeld.
Jerry Stiller was a big name.
Yes.
He was real big. And then like he was in Seinfeld. He was actually in a couple of movies with Ben,
yep,
which I think is awesome. He always played his dad, mm-hmm, or either his dad or his agent. And I think that was really funny. Andre Harrell, the guy who discovered P. Diddy, Sean Combs. Founded Uptown Records. Yep.
Anybody we'll do a musical show one day so that I can express how I feel about certain artists.
Okay. Little Richard, that's another one.
He died
this year.
Listen, I like to tell people when they like to argue about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I like to inform them of where the term rock and roll came from. And it came from Little Richard. I mean, yep, I understand that the guy up in Detroit coined it, the DJ, right? But he was playing Little Richard songs, and so he wanted it to appeal to white people. So instead of calling it Negro music, he called it rock and roll, and that's how the pseudonym or the names became about.
It stuck, yeah. Damn.
But I tell you, when I tell people I'm a tome of knowledge.
Tome. The fact that you said tome. Home of knowledge. All right, last few. Ephraim Khan, and you're not going to get me to say his first name. He was an American actor, but he was from Hindi actor, excuse me. Let's see, notoriety. What's some good movies he was in? Because again, I'm doing celebrities at this time. The Life of Pi. Remember Life of Pi, the guy who was trapped on the boat with the tiger?
The main star?
The main star besides the tiger.
Wow, I did not know he passed away.
He died in 2020, yeah. Yeah, April 2020.
My goodness, this year is just taking everybody, yeah, huh?
And so, he was also in Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah. Did he win an Oscar for that?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, the movie wasn't that damn great, but whatever.
And that's the American movies that we know he was in. He was also in Jurassic World.
Yep.
As the not overzealous, but the really plucky owner of the new park.
Yep.
The one who died in the car the helicopter crash. He was in that one. That was him. He was also in Inferno, The Amazing Spider-Man, which I'm not going to get into which one that was I know you.
He was in a lot of movies because The Amazing Spider-Man,
Yeah, so anyway.
Right. We had a show.
But unfortunately, you know, God rest all of their souls. I hope they're all in a better place. And if not, damn. Like, oops. Like, really. Because of what? Everything that you just talked about with heaven and hell, dude, like, he's got me thinking, like, some of them might be in hell. That's messed up.
Let's look at it this way, okay? So, religion was created so that we could explain things. The Romans had a god of the door for going in and out of the door, okay? You had a god of fire. You had a god of lightning. You had a god of the sun. You had a god of the clouds. You had a god of the earth. You understand what I'm saying? So, we created something to explain things that we could not understand. Death, life, birth, you know? So yeah, the creation of heaven and hell was because we wanted to be in a better place after we have lived this life. Now, I know a lot of people will get upset with me and say, well, you got to have faith. I do have faith. I'm a strong Christian man. I love me some Jesus. Understand what I'm saying? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I also question, because guess what? You have to question. You are not a person if you do not question. If you just follow blindly any type of teaching, you are doing yourself a disservice.
You're called sheep at that point. And no one wants to be sheepish.
Nope.
Because it's bad.
Now, real quick, I'm going to use these last 10 minutes real quick. Just to, let's just talk a little bit about politics and this upcoming election. What?
Bruh, let's save that for the next show.
Well, I'm teasing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Guess what, everybody? There's an election coming up. Tease.
Scheiße.
So, yeah, I'm sorry.
So November 3rd, we have an election coming up. And I just want to talk about the unadulterated propaganda I have been seeing from both sides that is actually just disgusting me. Last night, I'm watching the Braves game because I love me some Atlanta Braves. They're the best baseball team in the world, I believe. Should have won about 4 World Series in the early 90s, but Bobby Cox couldn't manage. So let's digress from that. So, wow. So I'm watching the Braves game, eating me some oxtails, and a commercial comes up, and it's like breaking news.
Ooh,
yeah, Big Ten football is coming back, and I'm like, okay, we know that. And then it cuts to a rock song, da 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 da, and then it comes to with President Trump saying, "I love football. You guys love football." Let's get the Big Ten football back, and everybody's like, "Yeah," you know, and I'm like. This ad is only geared for one set of voter.
It's placating.
That's Big Ten football fans. I don't like the Big Ten. The Big Ten plays terrible football.
According to you.
Exactly. And I'm an SEC fan. So that commercial did not appease me in any way, shape, or form. And then you had a Joe Biden commercial come on right after that one.
Uh-oh.
And it was like it was the same type of commercial you get during an election campaign of the sad sappy music, you know, the do do do. Have you, you know, seen what Trump is doing? He's doing this. He didn't help black people. You got a president who will help black people, and that's Biden. And it's like, what? Why?
I think people are, and you're right. I think it's kind of disgusting the way they go for the votes of a particular group. So they'll go for the LGBT plus community vote. They'll go for the white women vote. They'll go for the black vote. They'll go for, and then just the vote, which is technically really only geared toward white men.
You know, in 2016,
or the Latino vote, or the Asian American vote, like they have demographics, they have polls, and they figure out, well, most of the Asian Americans, their issues are these and these. So if you speak to those,
you know something. I'm about to just crap on a lot of that crap. I hate the fact that us as Americans, we have to segregate ourselves into different factions of Black Americans, Indian Americans, Native American Americans, Hispanic Americans, Americans, which are just the general term for white people, and then you have Asian Americans. It's like, what? No, we're all Americans. That's what the Constitution says. The Constitution does not say in any form or fashion Black Americans, white Americans, Asian Americans, Indian Americans, Pacific Eastern Americans, Pacific Western Americans, you know, Mexican Americans. It doesn't say that. It says American. It doesn't even say it's about Americans.
There's just Pacific Western?
I was just saying stuff. Come on now.
Okay. So, that threw me. Continue. wait. Did I skip that part?
You did skip it.
Was I sick that day?
You missed it.
Geography school? Geography
as
school?
An American, right? I get so upset with politicians when they pander to a certain crowd to try to win a vote. Now, I believe if you, honest to God, appeal to all Americans and didn't segregate them by saying, I helped black people more than the Democrats have in their own state. So, or I'll do better for black people. Look, I have a black vice presidential candidate. Like, what? I don't care who's black, white, or red all over. What I care about are the issues that you want to fix and how you're going to fix them.
I agree with you, but I can explain why that happens.
No, I know why it happens, but you can explain. I
mean, well, maybe our listeners don't.
Yeah, explain to the idiots listening.
Oh, dude.
What?
Why does it happen?
My bad.
It happens because when a particular group, doesn't matter who it is, but when a particular group feels disenfranchised by either one or both sides, and you have a new up-and-coming individual who wants to make sure that they have solidified their vote by that particular group, that's when you get pandering. Oh, the black people think that President Trump is not hasn't been taking care of them at all. Here's Joe Biden. Well, I mean, I was underneath the first black president of the United States, and I look, I've been doing with civil rights for years. Like, okay. And then well, I can do that too type of thing. And I remember reading an article that President Trump just recently rolled out the Platinum Plan.
Ooh.
That actually it gives no particular quantifiable incentives or anything like that. But the Platinum Plan is specifically for black Americans.
Yay.
And in fact, as I'm talking, I'm going to look up Platinum
Okay, plan. Okay. You read that real quick. Read it, digest it, and then come back to us. Real quick. I just have to say something. So, if you think of the last five presidents, okay?
Name them.
That's Trump,
yep.
Obama,
yep.
Bush.
Which one?
Bush 2.
Oh, George W.?
Yeah, W. Then you got Clinton. Then you got Bush 1. Right?
Yep, Herbert.
How many of these people are normal Americans who have suffered through American issues?
I don't know the early life of any of them, but I'm going to have to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I don't think any of them are normal.
Okay.
I mean, so, like most of them were either, like, I know President Obama was a lawyer.
Harvard graduate.
Harvard graduate. That's not a normal thing.
Nope.
But I don't, and I know that George W.
was the governor.
Was a governor.
Clinton was the governor.
Clinton was a governor. Herbert Walker Bush
was vice president.
Was vice president and then president.
Trump was a billionaire.
Trump was a billionaire.
So,
and yeah.
So my point,
I don't think normal life consists.
My
in any
point
of
is they continue to pander to a normal American, you know, Joe everybody,
because they outnumber.
But they don't know what Joe everybody goes through. And that has been the problem for the last five presidents. They don't surround themselves with people who understand or know what the average American goes through. They don't even try to. Now, listen, you can surround yourself with the highest educated, the most well-known people of all, but then do you have a normal American citizen sitting there at your table and asking them, how would this affect your bottom line at your house with three kids and you having one job? How would this tax plan affect you? How would this humanitarian aid going to nowhere China or nowhere India affect us economically and then in turn affect you? Do you even care about that? Well, you know, we have to be a foreign power. We have to show the world that we can. No, we don't. See, George Washington, the very first president, had it right. Now, we should not invest ourselves wholeheartedly into foreign affairs for no particular reason. Why are we giving humanitarian aid to countries that are third world countries? They have their own set of money and government. So guess what? As people in the United States expect me to take care of my household and pay my bills, as a country, I would expect these other countries to take care of your household and your bills. I do not believe in humanitarian aid to other countries with their own governing body. Now, if it's a territory, like say, let's Puerto Rico or American Samoa, yeah, we take care of those because guess what? They're our stepchildren. Understand what I'm saying?
I wouldn't say stepchildren, but you know.
But you know what I'm saying? You know, they're our adopted family. Okay. But when it comes to say Honduras or Guatemala or Central African Congo or wherever, you know what I'm saying? Why am I sending you money? Why am I giving you aid?
Because destabilization. Never mind. I was going to go somewhere that I should not.
I understand where you're coming from. But
I'd like to point out something because this is true information, and I do know that people who listen to us try to fact check us, and it's okay. I'm good with that. But you said something that I just want to bring a little bit of attention to really quick. President George Washington was not our first president. It was John Hanson.
don't do that to me because under this Constitution, it was not John Hanson.
Okay.
Okay. Don't you dare.
Okay.
Don't you dare.
Okay.
Who was the first elected president of the United States of America? Elected. By the people of the United States of America.
George Washington.
So don't you come in here with that bullcrap of the Articles of, what was it?
Confederation.
Yeah, that's what it was. And tell me.
President of the United States in the Congress assembled.
Wasn't he black? Was he black?
He was black.
He was. What is with you today?
Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing, okay? So I have been reading and probing the various Facebook pages and forums, and I am getting a kick out of what a lot of these races are calling black people nowadays. It's just so funny to me. Yes, it is. Because let me say one thing that I tell everybody who brings up anything racial. When you, if you have children listening, cover their ears.
Oh, God.
When you are, as a man, when you are pleasing yourself and you finish, what does that look like? It's white. Out of every single man in the United States and the whole world, your semen is white, right? The same color. When you cut yourself or you get cut, what color is your blood when it hits the air? It is red, right?
Okay.
So the melanin of your skin should not determine who you are because we are all of the same species.
That we are of the same species. We are.
Now,
we are.
We shouldn't be infighting with each other because of our skin color. We should be killing things that aren't of our species, like gorillas and chickens and pigs, because they are inferior to us, and we use them for meat.
We gorilla meat?
If I can fry that motherfucker up with some ham.
I can't really do this with you today.
All right. So the platinum plan for black folks.
Platinum plan for black folks. God dang it. Notoriety. Will you get... Dang it.
Notoriety. Sorry. So they're going to start letting us use the notary public?
No. Stop it. The proposal includes persecuting the Ku Klux Klan and Antifa as terrorist organizations, making Juneteenth a federal holiday in efforts to bolster black economic prosperity.
Okay.
He noticed he was down in the polls. Trump garnered just 8% of the black electoral vote in 2016, and an average recent 2020 poll shows Biden leading Trump in black voters by a 83-8% margin. 83-8, bruh.
Now listen to this. This is one thing that proponents of President Trump is going to tell you. You know, they're going to say back in 2016, the poll said that Hillary Clinton was going to win, which, if you look at the popular vote, she did. You know,
right. Oddly enough, the popular vote.
I mean, what? It was by like a million votes. That's crazy. You know, and so you have to look at the key states polling. That's Ohio, Florida, California, Texas.
Ugh, living in Florida, I can already tell you it's rough here. It's rough.
You know, you have to look at those key states, the key county pollings. Not the key state, because that's how President Trump won Florida in 2016, with the counties and how they voted. Now, I went all the way back to when Gore and Bush ran. It was the same thing in Florida. The counties is what you have to look at. And people don't understand that. And, you know, a lot of people who say, oh, well, now you're just pandering. You're pandering again. No. I want you guys to understand how the Electoral College works and how the votes count.
I can't stand the Electoral College.
The Electoral College is beautiful. It gives everyone in the United States a voice, because if that was the case, we would just have largely Democratic urban centers choosing our president forever.
Based on the amount of people who live in that area.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you look at the Gore Bush election. Didn't Gore beat Bush by in the popular vote?
I don't remember this, dude.
Yep.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I don't remember.
You know? And so it happens. It has happened. It will probably continue to happen. But I believe this election is going to be a landslide one way or the other.
Yeah. And speaking on, because it's really, really weird to me. In my personal opinion, this cannot be completed fact, but my personal opinion, I believe that presidential candidate Joe Biden already believes that he has the black vote, like just off the strength that he was President Barack Obama's vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that through a very interesting show of, what is the word, gumption or... he just has a lot of self-esteem on it. President Trump believes he will get the black vote. But here's why I think he won't. President Trump has been sending different messages to different audiences, and what he says does not add up.
You know what he's trying to utilize? He's trying to utilize the Jimmy Carter tactic.
Which is what?
Where you say one thing to one group and you get their vote, and you say another thing to another group and you get their vote. But that worked in the 70s. It won't work now because guess what? Social media has everything captured.
Yeah, everything's captured on social media. But then Mark Zuckerberg is the key holder to Facebook, and he likes Trump. So maybe.
Well,
maybe.
You got to understand, dude, Twitter has taken over. See, I'm going to tell you guys right now.
Black Twitter.
My view on this election is going to be urban versus rural. Okay. That's what it's going to come down to. So a lot of the people that are in rural America, they use Facebook. They get a lot of information from Facebook. Urban America, mm-hmm. you get a lot of information from Twitter and Instagram and things of that nature. You know, not saying that people.
It doesn't have many. The algorithms are different. For even though Instagram is now owned by Facebook, the algorithms, well, it used to be slightly different, but the algorithm for Twitter is completely different than the algorithm for Facebook and Instagram.
You know, I'm not saying that rural Americans don't have access or use it, but it's like if you look at it, you know. So on Facebook, you have a lot of misinformation being spread around about a lot, like Joe Biden, for instance. I read the other day that in 77, he said a quote about desegregation and it becoming, I don't want my kids to grow up in a racial jungle, you know. But then you have to continue reading the quote, because you know how everyone does nowadays, like to just take a part of it and say this is what he said.
Soundbite.
You know, what Vice President Biden said was he doesn't want his kids to grow up in a place where you have black kids being bused to white schools and then having to see this nice suburban or nice school area and then have to go back to the ghetto. And then they begin to resent white people. He was more in favor of desegregating the housing situations and allowing black people to move into white neighborhoods and things vice versa. So that way you can integrate that way and you won't have such a racial tension buildup that we have nowadays of people feeling left out or deinstitutionalized because they had to be bused to a better school, and you had white folks having to be bused to a bad school in the ghetto because they just wanted to desegregate. You know, and
here's the problem with that, though. Like, what makes a suburban school different from a inner city school, all right, well, which I would say just financing and location.
Let's look at it this way.
Financing, what's up?
You have some schools nowadays that are in urban societies who are still using textbooks from the 80s and 90s, okay?
Yeah, because they can't afford more.
Exactly. Or they just,
yeah.
Because mm-hmm. all of our school's funding is based off of test scores. When you have teachers who do not want to teach at a certain school because of the demographic or the crime rate or things of that nature, then you have lower test scores, which means the schools get lower funding. All right? So that means the schools can't afford newer books, newer information, and things of that nature. So when you have that happen, and you have back in the 70s, you have, well, 60s, you have white kids getting bused to schools with inferior books.
White kids. Really?
Yes, they were busing white kids to urban schools and black kids to, because they were just trying to desegregate as quickly as possible to adhere to the federal mandate. They weren't doing it in a smart manner. And when you read everything he said during that, what was it, House or Senate committee briefing at the time, I think it was the House committee briefing, he was saying that we should integrate the housing and not just the schools. We should make it affordable so that black folks who stay in the ghettos that we have created can move to the suburban white neighborhoods without being looked at funny or terrorized, and have their children go to school. So that way we can have a society who knows and understands what blending and mixing of races actually is, and that we are all the same people. I'm not a Joe Biden fan at all, but that makes so much sense, especially at that time. As opposed to just saying, hey, all you Negroes, get on this bus, we're gonna take you to this white school over here. And you have white folks being upset because like, oh, now we got Negroes in this school. And you got the white folks that saying, they say, hey, y'all get over here, get on this bus and take you to this black school over here. And they're like, what? Why would I leave my good school to go over here to this bad school and have to go through the ghetto and have to see this, as opposed to just allowing black folks to get better rates on mortgages, to move into a nice suburban neighborhood, not be threatened or feel accosted, and that way they can integrate. But that's revisionist history. I don't even care about that no more, because right now, today, the racial tensions are so high for no reason. I understand the reasoning, okay? I understand. But I say no reason, because if we had the right leadership to sit down, understand, implement a plan, this could have been done 7 months ago.
You mean like the controlling of COVID-19 as well? Sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because the biggest gripe in what I was trying to get out earlier, the fact that President Trump defended Confederate symbols, and Confederate symbols in turn symbolized slavery, which is an issue for the majority of the black population, and not only America, but abroad. He also called the Black Lives Matter movement a symbol of hate.
Did he say movement, or did he say organization?
No. He called, and it's hyphenated, it's hyperlinked. He has called the Black Lives Matter movement a symbol of hate. And as I click it, I'll open up another article, and yeah, there it is.
Hmm.
Days after retweeting and then deleting a video that included a Florida supporter shouting white power. See, and let's be completely honest with our audience, and I've been asked this in my personal life as well, because I have friends who just so happen to be not black or a person of color.
What?
Yeah.
What? Hold on a second. Black people can have white friends?
Yeah, I know, it's a very interesting
concept. I didn't know we
could
do that.
Yeah, we can. So they on social media, people get kind of sparked up, and they ask me, so why don't you want to vote for Trump? And I'm like, and at first I was like, well, is it obvious? And then I said, you know what? It's not obvious. So let me explain why. And one of my first points was, I do not believe he's for, or he willingly supports the movement for the change in the systematic racism that is in the country, because he does not acknowledge it. If he does not acknowledge it, then like no, there is no problem. There is no problem because it's not a problem, and I don't see the problem. If he doesn't see the problem, and I'm affected by the problem, and my son or my wife or you know, my friends, you, Marquis, have the ability to be affected by the problem that he doesn't see, I have a problem with that. That makes me not trust him to defend me as the president of the United States. And I'm not saying that Joe Biden's any better or worse. I'm saying that why wouldn't you vote for President Trump? President Trump doesn't even think there's a race issue. He thinks there's a lot of people on both, a lot of good people on both sides. I don't understand how a president can say there's a lot of good people on both sides when referring to protesters and the Ku Klux Klan. I don't get that. I mean, I bet they pay their tithes in church, and I bet they go to church every Sunday, and they're part of their, you know, little league team. But no, like, you fit the organization, you fit into the organization that for every intents and purposes would have me and everyone who looks like me lynched or enslaved or imprisoned. So no, I don't, I'm good. No thanks. Ooh. And anyone who supports them, no thank you to that too. Going back to what I was saying, you asked me, did he say the movement or the organization? And let's see here. By Wednesday, Trump was calling. Now, this is in CNN. And this article is CNN, Wednesday, July 1st, 2020.
Fake news.
Thank you, sir. Trump was calling, was calling words Black Lives Matter a symbol of hate, a description he refused to use for Confederate emblems that would spoil the luxury avenue he once called home.
Okay. Can I jump in here real quick?
Yeah, sure, dude.
Okay, so one thing I love is politics. I love it.
You love politics.
I love politics. I love the small subtle details that you have to incorporate to appease your constituents and your base. Okay? Now, everything you said about the question regarding why wouldn't you vote for Trump, right? Mm. As a black man, it makes sense. Okay?
Okay.
Yep. Now, as a black business owner, would that make sense?
Ugh, that depends.
See, you got to understand, with the economy and the things that Trump has done with China and the foreign policies, I mean, mm-hmm. I see no problem with it. I think they're great. They help black businessmen. They help every business person.
Every business person, yeah.
So as a black business person of color or minority business person, hey, he's helping me to help my family.
Yep.
So why wouldn't I vote for him?
Right. No. And it makes perfect sense. But let me give you a mirrored version of that, right?
Okay.
People say, when the phrase Black Lives Matter came out, people responded with two different things. All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to take the portion of Blue Lives Matter. Now, I'm not saying that police officers do not matter in our country. The ones who are doing the right thing really truly matter to me. The ones who aren't, not so much, I'm not going to lie. So, but the fact of the matter is there's no blue life. You aren't born blue, nor are you born into the service of the police department. If we're going by color particularly, mm-hmm. you can be born black and you can't really change that, even though Michael Jackson tried. And even though Rachel Dolezal and some more people switched as well, but then they had to come back with, nah, I'm not really black, I'm white, because they could pass at some point. So take a look at this. Blue lives is an occupation.
Okay.
The difference is you don't have to own or have that occupation. Now, here's the mirrored part to what you just said. Black business owners mm-hmm. were black. They were black before they were business owners.
Okay.
whether they're business owners or they work at Walmart on the third shift, they're going to be black. So empowering, and uplifting black business owners is a great idea. It does not affect, or it does not properly address the issues that affect the black community. It addresses maybe one or two. But if you're black and you're a business owner, that doesn't mean that a cop who is okay with police brutality won't bust your black head open.
You know, it doesn't. When it comes to police brutality and things of that ilk.
ilk. I haven't heard that.
I want people to understand, you know, even if you don't agree with what's being said, you got to understand that black folks have been dealing with this issue since slavery ended. And mm-hmm. that's the sad part. Even though mm-hmm. I respect police officers and what they do, because they have a very dangerous job. All right.
Inherently dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous. And you always have to be on your P's and Q's in order to go back home to your family. So I salute police officers for that. All right.
Every one of them. Yeah.
But when you have an issue where you have more patrols in a black neighborhood than you would in a white neighborhood, why is that when the same crimes are being committed? If you look at the statistics of the 80s cocaine epidemic, you have more white folks using cocaine and selling it in the suburbs, but you have more black folks being arrested for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at the demographics of prisons, you have more black people per capita in prisons than you do any other race. Why is that? You know, and that's the one thing I like to emphasize when it comes to race relations, is that you have more policing of African-American communities post Civil War than any other community in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people will say, well, that's because, you know, black people are more inherently violent. I've heard that before.
I've heard that, too.
You know, and it's like, well, how? So, is it because you lumped us together in ghettos and gave us crack cocaine and then started arresting us for it and then started breaking up whole families by placing the men in prisons so that way you could dictate how the females take care of their children with food stamps and welfare? You know, I'm just trying to bring to light and have people try to understand where African Americans are coming from with this Black Lives Matter movement. Now, I'm not a strong proponent of the organization, no. But the wording Black Lives Matter means something entirely different than what you see on the surface. Black Lives Matter means all lives matter. Okay? That's what it means. It means, but right now, we're trying to figure out why after 50 years after the Civil Rights Movement, we are still dealing with the issues of the Civil Rights Movement other than segregation.
Right. Right.
That's just my viewpoint on it. If it makes sense.
Because segregation was easy. Segregation was an easy target, because if it's segregated, it needs to no longer be segregated. So saying no black people can eat here and removing that sign and allowing black people to eat there, that's the easiest thing to do. It is.
Yep.
But the systemic issues, the policing of black neighborhoods, the inadequate or uneven levying of judicial punishment.
Oh, you know, one
guy,
you know,
that's uneven.
You know what? I read a recent article about a black guy and a white guy. They both had no criminal history, no priors. One guy, they both hit somebody and got charged with vehicular manslaughter, right?
Yep.
One mm-hmm. guy got, what was it, like 6-7 years? The black guy got 6-7 years. The white guy got probation.
Yes.
And guess what? Yes. They weren't in different parts of the country. They were in the same state.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, why are the punishment different?
And that is the reform that people want to see. Like, those who support the Black Lives Matter movement, that's the type of reform that people want to see.
And
I don't want an unequal punishment levy. If you kill someone, regardless of their race, you should be tried the same and given the same type of punishment as if someone else.
What did the Code of Harambe say?
Harambe?
Whatever. What did
Harambe? I don't remember.
It said if you kill someone, what is it? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Oh, you're talking biblical. Yeah, I'm sorry. My Sunday school lost
well, no,
funding.
Well, no, the Code of Harambe was actually Samaritan, I believe. It's one of the first.
Oh, Hammurabi's code.
Yeah, that's it, Hammurabi.
Whoa.
Harambe,
all right.
Hammurabi.
You threw me.
Whatever.
Right, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, some of those codes were brought into the Bible.
So,
but yeah,
so that was a unilateral code of law for that entire kingdom. Here in the United States, why do we have laws different for each state if we're supposed to be one federation?
Because we're not a federation. We're a union of states.
That makes sense.
Make it make sense. Yeah. Make it make sense. Because each state has its own allowed governing body.
Got that.
Every state has its own allowed governing body. And then the country's representation is represented by the federal. So, yeah, there can be overarching federal laws, but then each state can have its own particular personal slice of pie and how they want to flavor
okay,
it.
Okay, so I want to interject this real quick here, everybody. Okay, so everybody okay. Listening to the sound of my voice and to this show right now, I want you to understand, if you don't agree with us, let us know, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us your thoughts. Because guess what? We read every email, we listen to every opinion, and we try our hardest to address it. If you don't agree with what we're saying, fill us in. If we said something wrong, tell us. We're not so obtuse that we will not understand what you're saying and try to come to an understanding of where you're coming from. All right, because there are a lot of people out there who I'll say something and they'll be like, oh, well, that's just stupid. I don't want to hear it anymore without giving me your opinion and your thoughts. So that way I can try to change what I am thinking if it makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But with that, this has been True Information.
Welcome back, buddy. Welcome back.
Oh, man, I know we covered so much stuff today.
Season two.
Season two. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have, email the show at trueinformation2020@gmail.com or
grownassmanspeaks@gmail.com.
I am Marquis Davis.
And I am Grown Ass Man. Remember, tell your mama about me. Thank you.
And with that, we will see you next episode.